Morning, Saints.
Good morning.
I am excited to hear the Spanish worship service next week.
Amen.
Give a round of applause for that. Amen. And the fact that Brother Craig mentioned the NFL, man, he got me super excited for that. Everybody know that life changes when you get drafted. And I was on the draft board for the New York Giants, so I don't like them. Okay? I don't like any New York Giants fans here? Oh, man. That's all right. That's right. You're enjoying my heart. All right. So, as we know, last week we talked about resurrection. Okay? And it seemed like everybody read that story of him raising on the third day. And that was impossible. As you see, the sermon series is about an impossible God. Okay? And I talked to Brother Craig, and I said, man, you want me to teach next week? I said, okay, you mean like the 27th? He said, yes, you teach on the 27th. So I want to thank Brother Craig for trusting me. I want to thank the brothers here as well for having me stand here in this pulpit, because not everyone can get up here and speak, amen? Amen. Not everyone can teach the gospel, amen? And not everyone can tell the truth. Also, speaking of telling the truth, I want to thank my wife. She has always given me the voice of reason. She is always telling me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear.
Amen.
Similar to a rose, very pretty, pretty delicate, red. But if you stroll down a rose, you see some thorns. Amen? And sometimes she could be a thorn in my side, amen? To keep me humble, right? To keep me grounded, amen? Some of y'all get that later, amen? Alright, so today's topic is about bread being delivered, or bread delivered, okay? Bread delivered. Now, what is the first thing you think about when you see this?
Panera.
Panera, right? Eating, right? Right? You see the slices, right? You see a whole one, right? You see a half one. And you're probably thinking like, man, if I go to the store right now, the bread is over $6. I see a lot of seasoned folks in here. I'm sure bread back in your day costs a little less, right?
Yes, sir.
And we see this bread here, and automatically, if you read your Bibles, you think about Jesus feeding people with bread, right? As I went to my pantry this morning, I had three boys, and I said, we had three loaves of bread in the pantry. Now we're down to a half one. Right? Right? And that was less than 2 weeks. So I said, man, how am I feeding these boys with just three loaves of bread? And it's Killer Day bread. Anybody had Killer Day bread?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they got the sunflower seeds in it. They got the multigrain, right? It's pretty good. All right? If you want to go to Acme, you want to go to the thrift store, shop right, whatever you shop, Killer Day bread, I recommend that. It's really good. Okay? And it's healthy for you. But when I see this picture, I said, man, there's slices of bread, there's a whole bread, and there's a half of bread. And then I think about the impossible God. So this is the focus scripture for the day. We're going to set the tone. I think about the focus and the resurrection. We talked about yesterday. I think about Jesus Christ. Everybody knows this scripture, Philippians 4:13. If you want to say it with me, please, by all means, recite after this after me. I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Through Christ.
Christ.
Who strengthens me.
Strengthens me.
I like to do this with my son every morning because words of affirmation, you become it. Okay? So let's do this again. I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Through Christ.
Christ.
Who strengthens me.
Strengthens me.
Amen. Amen. You have to say that in this economy. You have to say that in this world. Because we know that Christ was of flesh. We know that Christ walked this earth and knew no sins. But we have the Holy Spirit when we are baptized within us. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's focus on that for at least less than 15 seconds. Just take a moment. Now, if you have your Bibles, yes, we have the projector, and it's very nice, and you can see with the words, and also you can see the version, all right? If you have your Bibles, you don't necessarily need the King James Version, but I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. Also, as well, if you don't have your Bible, and if you don't have your phone, because there's no sound, I have a piece of paper here if you need it, amen? All right, so there'll be no excuses for us not to be on the same page, amen? Because we are one day, one sound of harmony, amen?
Amen?
Because we are the church of Christ. Alright, here we go. And everything, I like what it has here, because when you were in school, okay, there was something called show and tell, alright? That was a chance for you to give a presentation, amen? Anybody know about show and tell? When they were growing up? Oh, we got some seasoned folks here, amen? I'm talking about age, amen? Alright, so Matthew chapter 14. Now, before we get to this, I want to give just a little background before we get to how Jesus fed the 5,000, because a lot of people just tell that story about the 5,000 and how many loaves of bread we're going to get into that and how many fishes we're going to get into that, but we sometimes don't forget that Matthew 14 starts with chapter 1, with verse 1, right? We don't read the beginning sometimes of chapters. We just want to just go straight to what we know, and it's very elementary to teach the story of how Jesus fed the masses, amen? But let's see the reason why he got to that point, okay? Let's see the reason why he had to departure. Let's see the reason why he got to this area, and let's see why as we read verse 1. It says, at the time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. Now, let's stop right there, because I said, man, what are these words in them, right? T-E-T-R-A-R-C-H. It's a governor. Back then, in the Roman times, there was a governor, okay? The governor heard of the fame of Jesus, amen? Now, the first thing you might think of is fame of Jesus. Jesus was famous back then? Yes, Jesus was famous back then. Alright, his miracles was heard and things happened, okay? So, that says right there, a Roman governor heard of the fame of Jesus. So let's set the tone right there. A governor heard of the fame of Jesus. Verse 2. And it said unto the servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Therefore, might work do shew forth himself in him? For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for Herod's sake, his brother's Philip's wife. Okay? Now, the reason why I got this italicized is because it's going to get good. You ever hear a story and you get the climax and the buildup? You're like, oh, what's about to happen next? That's why I have it italicized. Amen? Now, let's go to Matthew 14, continue on to verse 5. Verse 4, it says, for John said unto him, it is unlawful for thee to have her. Now we're bringing the law into this, okay? For John said unto him, right? Here's another man telling another man, it is unlawful for thee to have her. Now back then it was very G-rated, okay? To have her, we all know what that means. Alright, we don't even need the scriptures, but if you come into mind, if I have my wife and we have three kids, I had her. Amen? Amen. Just to make it clear, okay, what had mean? Alright? Verse 5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude. It wasn't one, it wasn't two, and I think we got maybe over 35 in here. It wasn't over 35, the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. Okay? What's a prophet? Someone that can foresee things, right? A prophet, right? They're talking about John. Someone that can tell things, right? A prophet. Alright? A let's continue on, because John has a status too. Okay? John, although Jesus had fame, John had a following too. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 6, Matthew 14, verse 6, it says, "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herod danced before them and pleased Herod." Okay, let's stop there, okay? The word dance, okay? Everybody know we can cut a rug, we can do the twist, right? And but nowadays, we know how dancing occurs, all right? We don't leave that to your imagination. Let's be real. There's a lot of dancing out here in this world that happens that we don't want to look at. Or we want to turn away from. But it's been happening since back then. And it's happening now. Amen? There's nothing new underneath the sun. So as we see here in verse 6, this is back in the Roman times. Okay, amen? But Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herod's dance before them. And pleased Herod. Okay? Let's not have the mindset of what is not happening now, because we're all adults here. Amen? She danced, and he was pleased. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I see y'all with me. I got a couple amazing men right here. I see y'all with me. Okay, verse 7. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. So she must have danced pretty well, and she must have pleased him pretty well to have this be a little more than what it was. A little more than it just entertainment. Amen? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I'm setting the tone because this is what happens before we get to the 5,000. Before we get to the massive. But as you see here, we got a governor. Okay? But when Herod's birthday, I'm going to read this again. And please excuse my repetitive because some people don't get it right away. Amen?
Amen.
But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herod danced before them and pleased Herod. Verse 7. Whereupon he promised with an oath, okay, to give her whatsoever she would ask. Now, what's an oath? What's an oath?
Promise.
Amen. It's a promise. That's like me being a councilman. I put my hand on the Bible and I promise or give an oath to service the community of King County. Or on District 1. Or on District 2. I give an oath. You see what the president did when he was going to office. He put his hand on the Holy Bible, the gospel, the truth. And he said, I will. And guess who was holding it? His wife. Amen? So therefore, this oath is just taken seriously. This is no joke. This is a promise. And back then, they kept their promise. Amen? Let's continue on. Now, before we get into this descriptive and this vivid image, I wonder what was her promise? Or what was the oath? Okay? Because if you read the Bible, and I did this on purpose, please read ahead. What did she ask for? Did she ask for a man who had status? The man who was a prophet? Did she want something in particular? Not his arm. Not his foot, not even a kneecap. Because when you slice off the head, you what? Kill the body, right? There's nothing new underneath the sun. We see executions not on TV, but they happen, right? Same thing back then. She wanted the head of John. Now I'm gonna get to the how this relates to Jesus, because if y'all can tell me this. How was Jesus related to John the Baptist?
Ooh, trivia question. Hello.
My man, yes! Elizabeth and Mary, okay? Elizabeth was John's mother, and then he had Mary. Now, with that being said, thank you, brother. Give him a round of applause. The fact that you want someone's head cut off and served on a platter, that means you did it. Okay? That means there's no more coming back from that. And on top of that, she wanted to deliver to her mother. Ooh. She wanted to have it packaged up. She wanted to have it UPS. No! She wanted the raw skull, head, nose, mouth, served with blood around it. We all adults here, right? Look at this image. Just imagine if this happened today. That's like me going out and saying, you know what? I want the head of Donald Trump delivered to me right now. And here comes Kamala Harris saying, you know what? Okay. I'll take your oath. I'll chop his head off and I'll deliver to you. How crazy is that? Let's keep it all the way to 100. Let's keep it a bean, as I say, where I'm from, okay? Think about that for a minute. I just want you to sit there for a minute, because nowadays, it's not like this. But back then, it was. I want the head of the man that baptized Jesus. I want the head of the man who is the cousin of Jesus Christ, who had fame. Sidebar. How many followers do you have on Instagram? Okay? How many followers do you have, ma'am, on Instagram? Just give the ballpark number. Okay. I'll tell you. I have close to 1,000. Okay? That's 1,000 people. Okay? Twitter. Facebook. How many people follow Biblical Church of Christ on Facebook? Okay? We got one here. Just imagine the following Jesus had, but just imagine the following that John had. And then now they're finding out, because the disciples found out, about this. Just imagine finding word of mouth that John the Baptist's head got cut off and it was delivered and served on the platter. Are you serious? Mm. Anybody who played telephone growing up? Can someone tell me what telephone is? If not, I'll tell you. Telephone is, I tell this person here, who is, let's call him LaQuisha. I say, LaQuisha, the dog ran over the fence. I tell LaQuisha this on Sunday. I said, the dog ran over the fence. 8 people get the same statement, or do they, the time Friday comes?
Where did the dog run?
All right? So John's out there like, man, what you hear? LaQuisha said, what? Nah, Randy, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, everybody said, what? The dog ran over the fence and went to the yard and went over the bridge and then he ended up on Dog Pound. What? That's not what I told. Y'all ain't with me. All right? The head of John the Baptist literally, factually, was cut off and handed over. All right. Brother, where you going with this?
Come on. Keep going.
Let's read instead of saying hearsay. Let's read. Let's play in telephone. Let's read together Matthew 14, starting at verse 13. Everybody, please pick up your Bibles. And let's be on the same accord. And let's read. Not about hearsay, not about what I said. It's not about me. It's about the Spirit of God and me talking to you. Amen?
Amen.
All on the same page. And if you have the King James Version, or if you have any version, please. Because right now, there's no devices, right? I don't have a phone. I'm depending on you right now. Okay? So, who would like to read? Amen. Please read 13 through 15, please.
When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place.
Stop right there. He withdrew in a boat privately. Mm. Why do you think he wanted to leave privately, and why do you think he went on a boat? Okay? All my Bible scholars, we know why he was on a boat, okay? But why do you think he wanted to leave privately? His cousin just got killed.
Great.
His disciples came to him and said, John, your first cousin just got beheaded. What are we going to do, Lord? Naturally, a man is living in the flesh. I'm out of here. Because it's what? There was the masses. It wasn't just one person doing this. Remember, there was an oath. There was a governor. There's a Roman Empire. After them, Not just John, because they really want to get to Jesus, because remember, who knew about the fame of Jesus? So this is a chess move, if you think about it. This is a pawn. All they had to do was, okay, we kill the cousin, we get to Jesus, who we really want. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now, who's with me? Continue to read.
Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town.
Stop right there! There was no Cadillac, there was no Citroen, there was no church. They followed him on foot! You know how long it takes for me? What's your name, brother?
David.
David, if you go to your home right now, you know how long it's going to take for me to go to foot to get to your house? It's going to take a while, right? Right? So, Jesus went on a boat. They ain't going to catch me on the boat. Because I'm going to sail off. Okay? Plus, they're traveling by foot. So, Jesus is a smart man. He calculated, okay, if they're going to go by foot, then I got time. And then he didn't say, I'm going to have my disciples come with me. Where did he say? Privately. Keep reading.
Verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick.
Amen. Brother Craig talked about grace and mercy, and I don't know if he used the word compassion, but if you have all this on your mind, right? I'm going to be honest with you, I want revenge. You kill my cousin, kill to be killed, right? I'm not trying to have any type of compassion. I'm not trying to have any type of remorse. I ain't trying to see you at all. It's just on sight. Okay? You kill my cousin, I'm coming after you. You cross my family, I'm coming after you. But what did Jesus have?
Compassion.
Say it one more time.
Compassion.
He had compassion for those who got him. You know how much of the Holy Spirit you're gonna have within you to have compassion for the same people that killed your cousin? Keep reading.
Verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Let the crowds go away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food."
Stop right there. So we got two things on the board here. Because it sounds like the disciples are getting scared. It's getting late.
Come on.
It's getting late. Come on, man. I'm hungry, Jesus. Right? Let them go home, right? Let the home get the food, right? Let them go to the market, right? Let them. And they go on my foot too. Sound like they're scared.
That's what it sounds like.
To me. You get all the way out here, Lord. Fine. Okay, now, what about us? How selfish was that? Did they think about Jesus at all? What he was going through? Why he decided to take a boat that by foot, and I like to say boat patrol, but by foot patrol, they are actually coming for him. And I'm going to come out here because I know I'm loud, right? But I want you to get the fact that I just walked about 15 steps to David. That was quick, right? I got to him a hell of less than 4 seconds, right? You see where I'm going with this? He didn't want to be around anybody. And he thought he had some support. But obviously, they didn't have the same compassion as he did for the masses.
Come on.
Somebody could read verse 16. Is that number 15?
Jesus replied, "Today they do not need to go at all. You give them something to eat."
Stop right there. Not only did he just talk about it, he said, "Let's be about it, okay? Let's make this happen." Now he said, "No, let's get them something to eat." Okay? Alright? What do you do with your enemy? It says in the Bible, what do you do? You feed him, right? You put coal over their head, right? You kill them with kindness, right? Jesus said, "No, don't worry about it. Come on. I got the compassion for you. Come on, let me give you some meat. Right? Yeah. I'm going to make sure you are fed." But not just by bread alone, but by what?
Bread of life.
Amen. The truth. I'm going to give you what's going physically. satisfy you. But how about this? I'm going to put some seed in you too. Right? Make you think about it. Continue to read.
We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish.
Oh, look! This is the disciples that they're scared! They are terrified.
Yes.
They are marginalized. They are trying to make sure Jesus doesn't carry this through. Mm. Okay? They're like, wait a minute, Jesus, it's late. I'm hungry, Jesus, but let them go get some meat. Wait a minute, Jesus. How many, say it again, how much food we got?
A pound of bread and 2 fish.
They're like, well, this is impossible. How are we going to feed the masses with 5 loaves of what?
Bread.
It's 2 what?
Fish.
I wonder how big the fish was. Was it salmon? Was it trout? Okay, right. Then they had to still cut the head off of the fish, and then they had to gut it, you know, because you realize he's a fisherman.
Mm. Wow.
Let's take that into account. So you ask the questions you already know. You feed your family. You don't want to cut the fish. You don't want to cut the head off. You are scared. Just say it.
Mm.
You are frightened about what's going to happen to you. But that's okay. Jesus is like, don't worry about it. And he didn't just say, I'm going to do it. He said, you go get it. Why do you think he said that?
Wow.
Well, but why do you think he told his disciples to do it? Can you read over them?
Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them loose.
Okay, stop right here. Brother, his sisters, Jesus is controlled and he knew exactly how to set things up. He knew exactly what the disciples were going to think and say, and he knew exactly how to get the people to sit down at his feet. Feed them. Anybody been hangry before?
All the time?
What happens when you're hangry? What's the last thing you've been? I'm trying to get to the dinner plate. Especially when we have 15 fellowship on the food right there and you smell the aroma coming up. We're like, ooh, just put on that last song. Come on now. Jesus knew all this before he even started. Why? Because he had the Holy Spirit in him. Remember, God, Holy Spirit, the 3 levels of Godhead, okay? Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. You go get the food. Bring them to me. Have them sit where I'm at. Even though it's a remote, private location. Let them come to me. And that's what we need to do. Come to what? Jesus Christ. For what we have. Those who are out here and those who are out there. Okay? There's another slide when we get to it. I'm going to show who's out there who we need to help with me and have a great talk, right? What is the population around here? Most of them, it's a small percentage who needs to come to us. We'll get to that in a minute. Close that thing. All right. Keep reading, brother.
They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children.
Oh, stop right there. It was how many?
5,000.
5,000 who?
Men.
Oh!
Women and children.
Oh, wait a minute. Why do you think there was 5,000 men being fed? There's a significance behind that.
They were chasing.
Say it again.
They was after Jesus.
It was after, if you feed a man, you're like, whoa, you're going a little too fast right now. You feed the men, right? Calm them down a little bit. Well, shoot, what was I doing in the first place, man? It wasn't that important. I'm all right now. I got a little bread, got a little fish, I got all this anger in me, man. I'm not angry no more. Why are we even doing this? Why are we even trying to go after you and we just heard about John? Are you even related to John the Baptist? Mm. They start crushing it. Like, okay, so let me sit down for a minute. I got my whatever on me. I'm about to go. What'd you say, Jesus? What you talking about? It eases and calms the mind a little bit, right? Because they're like, well, what's Jesus just for free? I didn't have to pay for this. He just fed me for free. What? Now you got my attention.
Amen.
Keep reading, brother. I think, is it, we got to 21 yet?
Right, 22.
Okay, thank you for stopping there. Okay? I just want to give you a little bit of context, because everybody touches on just feeding the 5,000, and that was a miracle. It was an impossible thing to do. Yes! Because if you think about it, if I have 2 pieces of salmon and 5 kilo days bread, can I feed all of y'all?
Not me.
We got somebody that got a big appetite here, man. He might just take everyone and look, oh, y'all are crumbs, okay? But that's what we have to realize, that his thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't grasp what has happened back then. All we have to do is read and believe and have faith. Amen?
Amen.
Realize, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. All you have to do to know about Jesus is read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Get the genealogy of it. Okay? Because that's the significance. Okay? You realize Jesus' cousin was murdered. Now, if anybody knows, you know, and I'm gonna be sensitive. If anybody family member got murdered, okay, you know, please, my sympathies. But yes, I have family members. Okay? I have friends. And it messes up my day when I hear something about somebody. And that's just emotionally. That's just psychologically. Because once I find the details, then rage starts to kick in. Right? And then vengeance is Lord, right? But I want to take it in my own hands. But wait a minute, Brother Drew, ain't you a Christian? No, y'all ain't talking to me. Ain't you a follower of Christ? Why do you got all this? Why are you getting all puffed up about to go? What am I?
A man.
Flesh and bone. Right? Naturally. I have a natural reaction to things. But as Church of Christ members, we have to think outside of the box, as they say. We have to think, what would Jesus do? Jesus will have compassion. Jesus will pay for free food. Matter of fact, he would get his crew, his disciples, to go get the food. Right? So he's not alone in this. He has a team. He's going to go and find a way to feed those who don't like him. Those who want to kill him. Because they just want to get to him. Get to John. Call that baseball, I mean, probably that. But they just want to get to John and get to me. Okay? Alright. One more slide here, and then I'm done. Anybody hungry for the word? Now, what do you see here? I like this guy because he has a green hat. And I like the fact that he has a green hat, and he has his hand out, and the fact that he has a water in his left hand. You know why I like this guy? Because he's not saying, water. Who are you giving me water for? And what is this in the bag? What am I supposed to do with these beans? Hey man, hold up. It's cold outside. You don't got a coat for me? You don't got a jacket? Wait a minute, hold up. You telling me that you see me with this windbreaker on and this, I'm sorry, this blanket on? I'm shivering. You don't got a place of shelter for me? All you're giving me is water and some beans. He's not saying nothing at all. Matter of fact, he wouldn't make eye contact with the man with the glasses handed to him. How humble is this? On top of that, who is behind him? It's a woman. It's a lady. He's probably thinking, you know what, let me get out of the way so she can get what she needs. Pictures are worth a thousand words. You can say what you want about it. But what does he look like? Does he have an address? Does he have a residence? Does he have a P.O. box? We don't know, right? When I came here from Northeast Church of Christ, there's always someone had to bust out. I'm going somewhere with this. You got a minute? But you, I think he's still learning downstairs at the elementary school, probably. Amen. So, thank you. So, when you walk out of Northeast Church of Christ, behind the red door, you see a street, okay? And then on maybe about 20 feet away, there's someone always at the bus stop, right? And they're always waiting for the bus, okay? That person sometimes can be homeless. That person sometimes could be just going to work. Well, that person sometimes really needs to hear what you have to say. Most of the time, you walk out, you go down, hey, how you doing? And I'm into my car, right here. Ooh, I'm going back to the suburbs. All right, I'm good. Rewind that back. I come out of Northeast Church of Christ. I see somebody at the bus stop. Oh, hey, how you doing? Here's the track. Oh, you want? Oh, we have first and third Saturday, and we give away food and all this. Where am I going with this? The brother came to me and said, you know what? We have a homeless population here in Durban Church of Christ. Let's talk to them. Let's strategically plan. Let's plant some seed. Let's get them some bread. Not just for a moment, not for 2 days, but let's have a roof over their head. I said, you know what, brother? Wow, that is awesome. How are we going to do that? Well, brother, you know, we got this, that, and the third. And I remember watching Martin. And Martin wanted to open up a store with his wife, Gina. And he needed a manager. And that manager was Cole. So Cole messed up, and he was giving out coupons, and it said 3 for 1, 1 for 2. Either way, he was eating for free, right? Meatloaf and waffles, right? Mm. So the staff that Martin had was his own friends, right? And so Stan came in and said, well, think about it. Them is y'all, and y'all is them. Meaning that if we're going to feed this population, if we're going to change the community, them is y'all, and y'all is them. We're talking about us. The people here in this room, to make a difference, to feed 5,000, or to give them spiritual guidance, or to talk to them in Spanish. Because I know there's not just one population that speaks English in this United States, in this Kent County, in Dover, right? We're talking about the capital of Delaware! We're in that gap. That has to mean something to you. We're about an Air Force base. You know how many resources you have around you? Just to do something simple. Now, I could be talking to the wall. Y'all could be doing this already. But I heard this brother's cry, and I heard this brother's need. Out of Bounds is coming up. We're talking about people who what? Went through something. Did anybody not go through something? This man showed me his scar. He said he had it first. I said, copycat. He made sure he wasn't the only one. God had this before you. Talking about stroke. Okay. All right. We all been through something. Jesus is about to get killed. And it's... Let me sit down, because I'm behind.
Go ahead, bro.
And I'm not yelling at y'all, please. That's just me being passionate. You know, that's me yelling at you. You'll find out real quick my temperament, okay? Because I want you to hear me. Not just listen. I want you to hear me. Of course, we have to hear the word. You have to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But let's stop right there with repent, because I remember being in several congregations, and this was repented. Okay? I'm going to sit right here, brother. I'm not going to shoot, brother. Hey, I repent of my sins. Please pray for me. I went out to the casino and gambled all my money away. Step right back there. What does the word repent mean?
Change.
Well, not just once, right? Complete. My man. I went from gambling, going out here doing whatever, this, that, and the third. I'm facing it right now. I'll continue to do it. About face to all my military people, and I'm walking away from it. Completely changed and what? Not looking back. I'm not turning into salt. That's a little tippy, dog. I am turning away and repenting and completely changing, doing 180. And not even thinking about what I used to do 5 years ago. 10 years ago, 15 years ago. If you haven't grown since then, come and talk to us. Share. But you have to hear, believe, and repent. And then you got to confess with your mouth. Open up your mouth. What are we doing again? What? Get through all things. Through Christ Jesus. We open up our mouth and we say it. Did y'all believe it? I did. Philippians 4:13. You don't always got to say book, chapter, and verse when you talk to somebody. You can just go ahead and riddle it out. Trust me on that. It works. And people will believe in you. But not only you tell them this, don't believe in me, believe in God. Believe in Christ. Believe in the Word. Because the Word has the final say. Amen?
Amen.
And then be baptized, immersed in water. I love the fact that that is, what is that? That looks like that water is pretty cold, right? But we got some warm water in here, don't we? And if I'm in here, ooh, because who wants to take cold bath? No, but it's good for your bones, though. I'll tell you that, you know the recovery time. It's warm, okay? Go ahead and get immersed. But this is a couple steps you got to do, though. You have to hear. Believe. Repent. Remember, 180. Completely walk away from it. Confess. Open your mouth. And say, I believe Jesus is Lord. Okay? Then, all you got to do is get it. It's about to be hot outside. Okay? But on a serious tip, if that's what you want to do today and you're not part of the body, please, by all means, come forward. Come to where Jesus is. He's waiting for you. Definitely. And he wants you. I ain't saying come on the boat, because we know I have no people.